This audiobook is a free download at the site johanpeters.in. Please visit the site and download also the PDF form.
This is audiobook part 2, A Man of Sufficient Stature Taking Down the World with Him. Forward, at present, we feel safe in the protection of the kingdom of God, the net. It says in Matthew 13:47-50, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was cast into the seas and gathered of every kind, and when it was full, they drew it to shore. So shall it be at the end of the world. In the picture we see the Omega is the end of the net and the Alpha is the beginning of the net. Many times the Lord said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Alpha is the beginning for us, which is Genesis, the creation or the start of the net of God's kingdom on the one side. And if you have questions concerning the Alpha, please read the booklet, In the Beginning, Then What? This gives scriptural, scientific, sound evidence of our origin. Next for us as believers is the Omega or the end, the Lord's Second Coming. This booklet is the scriptural alternative to these many confusing theories. Don't let the net of God's kingdom lose its strength and drawing power on your heart by eliminating either the beginning or the end of the net with the theories and the wisdom of man that is such foolishness to him, it says in 1 Corinthians 3:19. Is he still the Alpha and the Omega for us? Luke 18:8 says, When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on earth? Preface. In October 2019, we published A Man of Sufficient Stature, Taking the World by Storm. If you have not read this booklet yet, then please read or listen to it first before proceeding with this reading. We learned about a dynamic leader who will shortly come on the world stage and put forth a proposal for world peace and economic stability. He will come on the world political scene with the 7-year peace agreement. And we saw how he takes the world by storm during the first of his 7-year tenure through finances. In this part 2, we learn how the second half of his 7-year tenure will unfold. We will delve into the books of Daniel, Revelation, and the Gospels to discuss the different parables and prophecies concerning this second 3.5-year period. People have said, don't talk to me about Revelation. This just scares me. Well, sorry to say, but then we are reading it wrong, as reading the Word of God gives us faith and strength to face the future, whatever it may bring, and it is my hope and prayer that this booklet will just do that. Introduction. How to study Bible prophecy. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus lays the bridge between the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. Once we believe the word of Jesus in Matthew 24, then the puzzle pieces of the book of Revelation fall into place. Daniel gave us the foundation and the time frames, and the book of Revelation gives us the details. Studying the book of Revelation, the prophecy chapters are divided into 3 parts: the 7 seals, the 7 trumpets, and the 7 vials. The first 6 seals cover the complete world history from beginning to end. The 7th seal announces the 7 trumpets of the tribulation. Before the 7 trumpets sound, the servants of God receive the seal of God for their protection. The first 6 trumpets cover the tribulation. The 7th trumpet announces the return of Jesus to gather together his children in an event that we have named the rapture. Simultaneously, the 7th trumpet announces the destruction of Babylon, the nuclear war, and the 7 vials of the wrath of God, which is the atomic after effect. The 7th vial is Armageddon, and it is done, it says in Revelation 16:17. Chapter 1. Milk and meat getting ready. We have heard it often said that God's word is not a cafeteria. Yet we only like the milk of the word, and how much God loves us, as that is soothing, while we avoid the meat of the word, which are the more controversial and prophetic challenging scriptures. However, Paul said, milk is for an infant, but solid meat is for the mature who have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Hebrews 5:13-14. This booklet would be considered the meat of the word, which, if we can absorb it, will mature and strengthen us for the days ahead and enable us to discern between truth and lies, building our ark to survive. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. It says in Matthew 24:37-39. This is the excuse that many of us use about not knowing our future and the Lord's return. This is a very poor excuse, as Noah knew, and he was trying to warn the people, but they could not be bothered. Hence, Noah, moved with fear, went ahead and built the ark to save his house, it says in Hebrews 11:7. The question remains, do I want to be like Noah and survive, or be like the people and drown in the flood? This time, it will not be a flood of water, but a flood of lies. How can I build my ark to survive the devastating flood of lies that is coming? The only way we can withstand the lies is with the truth of God's word, the Bible. For this reason, when Satan gets his last fling, he will do everything in his power to discredit and slander the truth of God's word. He will leave no stone unturned to destroy man's faith in the truth. It says in Daniel 8:12, cast down the truth to the ground. It'll be a devastating deluge of falsehood propaganda constantly flooding the world through media. It says in Revelation 12:15, Satan cast out of his mouth water as a flood of lies after the woman, that he might cause it to be carried away with the flood. Lies will become truth, while the truth will be deemed lies. The woman in this verse are the believers that he will try to drown in his tsunami of propaganda. The only way to survive this flood of lies coming out of the devil's mouth is to build our ark with the truth. People build their ark by knowing their Bible and committing it to heart. It is hard work, but it is the only means of survival. The coming storm. Jesus said, he that hears my sayings and does them is building his house upon the rock. The flood of lies came, and the wind blew, and it fell not, for its foundation was upon a rock. These are the ones whose life is built on the rock of truth. They know their Bible. However, the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the floods of lies came, and the winds blew, and great was the fall of it. Matthew 7:24-27. It is easy to build a house on the sand, and the people don't mind helping, as it goes up big, and everyone will admire your grand edifice. However, it is much harder to build a house on the rock, the truth in God's word. To build on a rock, first of all, you have to clear off the rubble and doctrines that have fallen on it throughout the ages. And then you have to carry up the bricks, brick by brick. It is hard on your muscles to climb with bricks and cement and building materials onto a rock. Not many people will want to help with that kind of a building. No matter what kind of building you build or are part of, one thing is certain, the floods of lies and storm will come. Guaranteed. The survival of your house is in the foundation, not in the numbers nor the size of your building. The bigger the building, the greater the fall. The tribulation will definitely be the end of the organized Christianity, and great was the fall of it. Be careful not to get buried under the falling rubble. Getting ready. Jesus gives us story after story and parable after parable about getting ready. In Matthew 25:1-13, it says, 10 virgins which took their lamps to meet their bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. The foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The 10 virgins were all believers in Jesus. However, the foolish weren't foolish like we perceive foolishness to be. They were just too lazy to take the oil in their vessels. They were too lazy to commit God's word and promises to heart. Instead, they relied on the preachers and the pastor's sermons to be their ark when the flood hits. Listening to a preacher once a week is not building your ark. That teaching is not an excuse that we can use when we stand before the Lord. But my preacher said, well, the return question will be, what did I say in my word? An enemy has done this. He that sows the good seed is the Son of Man, which is Jesus. While man slept, His enemy came and sowed tares, which are doctrines not according to his word, among the wheat. In Matthew 13:37, one tare that has affected most of Christianity and is contrary to Jesus' teaching is that Jesus will come back before the tribulation. The good seed is what Jesus taught. Immediately after the tribulation, they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds, Matthew 24:29-31. Yet 90-95% of the Christians believe that Jesus was wrong and that it should be before. Isaiah 30:10 says, "Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy the seeds." Jesus did not hang on the cross for 6 hours, balancing his body weight on the nails pounded through his hands and feet, gasping for breath to tell us some half-truths which we can change or omit by giving our personal interpretation. Wouldn't we love to be wrong about the post-tribulation rapture and pre-tribulation be right? But that's not what Jesus said. Well, then who said it? That's right. An enemy has done this, because God is not a man that he should lie. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Says in Numbers 23:19. Yet people prefer the lovey-dovey pre-tribulation preacher over the truth of what Jesus said. Why the tribulation? If you have a group of people, some are sold out for you, some totally against you, and others say, "We are with you and we love you." However, you are not sure if what they say or sing is true or only lip service. It says in Ezekiel 33:32-33, "You are unto them a very lovely song. They hear your words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goes after covetousness." So what can you do to find out if they mean what they say and sing? You test them and put the pressure on to see where they are at and how much they will stand by their words. And for this reason, we have this testing to see if our alleged devotion is true loyalty. How can we otherwise be tested to see if we are worthy to rule and reign with Jesus for the next 1,000 years? It says in Revelation 5:10, "You have made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Now, if we are willing to defend the truth with our life, then we will do the same when we rule and reign with Jesus. We will have passed the test and will be counted worthy to judge truthfully. If we go for the lies and the money in order to save our neck and benefit from it, then we will do the same as rulers and judges in Christ's kingdom. For this reason, the tribulation is necessary, so that untrustworthy among us will be weeded out. We will not just waltz into the millennium expecting to be promoted and fill positions of management, leadership, and royalty without the entrance exams. So to test our hearts and to see if we are worthy of the job. Chapter 2, the world stage, seven seals. Hebrews 11:13 says, "They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth." One thing that we learn throughout the Bible is that God's people were strangers and pilgrims, and they considered themselves as being on a journey. They knew where they came from, heaven, and were going back there. Their values were in a different realm. Sidetracked. On earth, we get sidetracked with the four horsemen of the apocalypse. These are running frantically, side by side, throughout world history to conquer the hearts and souls of men. These are the first four of the seven seals of world history, which only Jesus was worthy to open, as only he could break the power that these four horsemen have over us. In Revelation 5:2-9, it says, "Who is worthy to open the book and to open the seals thereof? You, Jesus, are worthy, for you redeemed us to God by your blood." The first seal. "And I saw a white horse," Revelation 6:2, "the white horseman of political and religious bigotry, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering." The crown of leadership is white with noble aspirations of nationalism and religion. This rider has been conquering and dividing mankind throughout history. With a lust for power, his bow is ready to shoot anybody who gets in his way. The second seal, Revelation 6:4, "There went out another horse that was red, the rider of the red horse of war, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another, and I was given unto him a great sword. This horse, red with blood, denotes a military war machine. This horse runs right along the white horse and is thriving on these divisions created by the first horseman. He will take peace from the earth and kill by war for our national interests and or religions. The third seal, Revelation 6:5, a black horse. The black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. These are the black suits of business and taxes. These thrive with wars, especially to the arms industry. Revelation 6:6 says, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that ye do not hurt the oil and the wine. A measure of wheat for a penny. Here we see how big business keeps a stranglehold on the daily food, represented by the wheat and barley costing a penny, which was a day's wages. So all the money earned is used for daily food and survival. Nevertheless, big business keeps itself well supplied with the good things of life, symbolized by the oil and the wine. The laborer is not allowed to touch or to hurt the oil and the wine, and for this reason, big business devises wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words. Isaiah 32:7. Then we get the fourth seal, Revelation 6:8, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. The pale horse has the color of death and is eagerly chomping at the bit to reap the results of our sins of selfishness and what the other horsemen have sown. Death and hell for all those young men. Glorified, yet they are no more. Only names carved on stone walls, and in the not too distant future, this rider will go berserk. These four seals show us the overall picture of what is happening on the stage of world history. The fifth seal, Revelation 6:9, the souls that were slain for the word of God. Here we switch to the tribulation of the last days. I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And it was said unto them, they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also, as their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. That little season refers to the tribulation when their fellow servants and brethren that should be killed as they were will join them. This fifth seal also shows us what will come. Will I follow the crowd in fear and let Satan rule my life, or will I stay faithful to Jesus and believe his promises? This will be the test of my heart, to see what kind of backbone I have. Will I be a string for a backbone, pacifistic, fearful, so-called, quote-unquote, Christian? Or am I willing to give my life for what and who I know is the truth? John 14:6. Now we have the sixth seal. This points to the very end and shows that things as they are will come to their end. Revelation 6:17 says, and the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? There was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as a sackcloth of hair, and the moon became blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, and the great day of his wrath is come, it says in Revelation 6. This indicates the very end, when the nuclear bombs of man's insanity to man are exploding. The seven vials of his wrath are the after effects of the atomic war, and at that point in time,
Jesus returns. It says in Matthew 24:29-31, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. This is the nuclear after effects. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. The six seals are world history from start to finish. The seventh seal. This goes back to the beginning of the tribulation and announces the seven trumpets of the tribulation. This is the second half of the last 3.5 years of the Antichrist's reign, which is the climax of all history, the grand crescendo.
Stand back. If we can stand back from the first four seals and this insane horse race that is playing on the world stage, then can we see the futility of it? No matter what we believe, do, say, or who we vote for, God's overall will is done, and his screenplay will be played out. It says in Matthew 6:10, your will is done in earth as it is in heaven. The drama has to be played in full to see where we each are at. It is to see what decisions each one of us personally and individually will make. It is to test our heart. Will I love or hate? Share or shoot? Give or grab? Help or hinder? Stand for the truth or fall for the lies? Will I stand by Jesus and his words or decide to run away with mammon? What kind of egg am I? However, because you prefer not to believe the love of the truth of Jesus' words and prefer the smooth preacher, God in his love will send us the delusion that we want so we will honestly believe it. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, that is why God sends them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Says in 2 Thessalonians 2:11. Chapter 3, the seven tribulation trumpets and the seal of God. Before the seventh seal is opened, which is announcing the seven tribulation trumpets that will hurt the earth, the angel will seal the servants of our God in their forehead. The seal of God will protect those who have it from the tribulation plagues, much like the Israelites were protected from the plagues in Egypt. It says in Revelation 7:4, I saw another angel saying, hurt not the earth, neither the seas, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. There were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. The servants of God of the 12 tribes of Israel will receive the seal of God in their foreheads. Most of us have taken this to be literal, which may well be true, as a number of Jews will realize that the maker of the covenant is not their Mashiach. When he moves the army into the temple to stop the animal sacrifice and to set up his image, quite a few Jews will then accept the true Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. In Galatians 3:29, it says, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. In Romans 2:28, it said, he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. However, when people truly accept Jesus, they become a child of Abraham. Hence, the 144,000 is likely to be a combination of Jewish and non-Jewish believers. When we compare the 144,000 to the world population, that is 1 in 54,000. To show that God is not too pleased with the persecution of his children, the angels sound the tribulation trumpets to keep the Antichrist and his cronies busy with other emergencies besides the slaughter of God's children. The first trump, Revelation 8:7, says, hail and fire mingled with blood, and a third part of the trees was burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. An enormous, disastrous meteor shower is it. The second trumpet, Revelation 8:8, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. There's an asteroid that hits the ocean, and one third is poisoned, because it says a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. Now that is a lot of dead fish and sinking ships. The third trumpet, Revelation 8:10, and there fell a great star from heaven, wormwood, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon a third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters, and a third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. There is a burning, poisonous asteroid. Is it that the asteroid explodes, poisoning the rivers, springs, and reservoirs? The fourth trumpet, third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise, it says in Revelation 8:12. There shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. It says in Luke 21:26, man's heart failing them for fear. Many are terrified, not knowing what is going on. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe," because of the three angels which are yet to sound, it says in Revelation 8:13. Sorry, but the future doesn't look too good if you are not one of God's children protected by the seal of God, because the next three trumpets are the biggies. Each woe is a trumpet. The fifth trumpet, I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and it opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit. The sun and the air was darkened, and there came out of the smoke locusts, and should hurt only those who don't have the seal of God in their foreheads. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. Revelation 9:1-12. These locusts are beyond anything we have ever seen. The description is almost surrealistic. They are so bad that people will seek death and not find it. People will want to commit suicide, but it will be failed attempt. One woe is past. And we get the sixth trumpet, says, "Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates," in Revelations 9:14-16. This is towards the end of the tribulation. These angels will oversee an uprising of an enormous army. Revelation 16:12 says the army of horsemen were 200,000 or 200 million. This army of 200 million rises up in the east. No country can support an army this size. This refers to the uprising of the Islam for the final jihad. The Muslims will unite under the leadership of the Mahdi, who is, according to the Islamic scripture, the guided one, who will rid the world of the Dajjal, which is the Antichrist, and his allies of Kafirs, which are the non-believers, and Mushriks, or the polytheists. Says in Revelation 9:17-18, out of their mouth issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. Their power is in their mouth. This relates to the fire and brimstone preaching. Says a third part of the men were killed by them. They gathered together in the east, but have to cross the river Euphrates. Amazingly, the sixth seal of the atomic war after effect is that the river Euphrates dries up, and then this huge army from the east will have access to Israel and Europe in order to implement Sharia law. The seventh trumpet, the last trumpet, announces the return of Jesus, the after effects of the atomic war,
which John the Revelator described as the seven vials of the wrath of God.
Chapter 4, Time of Testing and the Witnesses. What sparks off the tribulation? The 7-year peace agreement will include a settlement for the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. During the first 3.5 years of his reign, the Antichrist invades the Middle East, which ends in a settlement. Then he invades a second time to enforce peace. This time, he is planning to include Israel. However, it says that the ships of Kittim shall come against him. Kittim is the old name for Cyprus. Since Cyprus got her independence in 1960, Britain has kept two SBAs, or sovereign base areas, on the island from where the RAF, the Royal Air Force, along with the US and what is left of the NATO, operates. These will send their ships and airships to defend Israel. The Antichrist turns back and is infuriated against his 7-year peace agreement. It is now a matter of a short time till he breaks his covenant by sending arms, means peacekeepers, into the temple. It says in Daniel 11:30-31, "For the ships of Kittim shall come against him. Therefore shall he be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant, and arms shall stand on his part, and they shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination." So they will stop the animal sacrifice. It says a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground. This is Daniel 8:12. The reason is that it transgresses the animal rights laws. The animal sacrifice is replaced with the abomination, which is the start of the tribulation. Jesus said, "When you see the abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the temple, then flee, for then shall be great tribulation." Matthew 24:15-21. As explained in part 1, once the image or the abomination is placed in the temple, it will straightway send out lists with names of people who don't have the RFID microchip implant to the police and the check posts throughout the world. It will be an elimination of those who refuse to worship the image or this talking puppet as their new god and refuse to accept the RFID microchip identification. How long is the tribulation? This period is 3.5 years and is mentioned 8 times in the Bible. It says in Daniel 7:25, "They shall be given into his hand until a time and times and a dividing of time," which is 3.5 years. Daniel 9:27 says, "In the middle of the 7 years he shall place the abomination." 3.5 years are left. In Hebrew, the word Shavua means time frame of 7, and it can be translated as a week, which is 7 days, or 7 years. In this Daniel 9, 24-27 prophecy, it fits 7 years. Daniel 12:7 says, "He swore that it will be for a time, times, and a half," 3.5 years. Time is a year, times is 2 years, and half is a half a year. In Revelation 11, verse 2, it says, "The holy city shall they tread underfoot 40 and 2 months. 40 and 2 months is 3.5 years. In Revelation 11, 3, it says, "They shall prophesy 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. Back then, the lunar calendar counted 360 days for 1 year. 1,260 divided by 360 is 3.5 years. Revelation 13:5 says, "Power was given unto him for 40 and 2 months. Again, 3.5 years. It says, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's in Revelation 12:6, which is again 3.5 years. Revelation 12:14 says, "She is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent." So 3.5 years. We find it 3 times in the book of Daniel and 5 times in the book of Revelation. The Lord's second coming is not a guessing game. There are more prophecies given about the short time frame before the Lord's return than there were prophecies given about Jesus' first coming. You just have to read it and believe it. You don't have to be a prophet for that. It is common sense. There is group 1, 2, or 3. Whatever remains of the believers in the tribulation, we can roughly divide in 3 groups. Group 1. These are the people that refuse to leave their properties, and they need to either accept the RFID implant and worship Zion and the New World Order leader with his image as their God, or give their life. So the Revelation 13:13-15, "As many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed, and he causes all to receive a mark, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark." So the great falling away happens in this group. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for a day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Joel 3:14. So they either fall away or they get eliminated. Those who refuse the microchip and refuse to worship the image will be eliminated. These stand firm in the liberty wherewith Christ has made them free. Galatians 5:1. And they loved not their lives unto death. Revelation 12:11. Group 2. They were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Hebrews 11:13. They are not bound to their property, but they are ready to flee. They are willing to give up their houses and properties to flee to the mountains, as Jesus told us in Matthew 24:16-19. Revelation 12:14 says, "The woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for 3.5 years from the face of the serpent." That is the woman, or the body of believers, who will fly into the wilderness, where God has promised to take care of them. God took care of Moses and Israel for 40 years in the desert, and he will do it again. However, for these believers, it will only be 1260 days or 3.5 years. These people make it out just by the time the image is placed in the Jewish temple. Revelation 12:16 says, "And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman." This is a flood of lies, and the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood. So this place in the wilderness is a remote, out of range area, safe from the lies and the broadcast that will flood the earth. The earth helped by not allowing the floods of indoctrination to reach the wilderness. We are not sure where that place will be, but the Lord will tell us when the time is ripe. Possibly in a cold surrounding, as Jesus said, "Pray that your flight is not in winter," in Matthew 24:20. It says that the dragon was wroth with the woman, with those who have the testimony of Jesus, says in Revelation 12:17. Satan is absolutely livid with the believers that have the testimony of Jesus because they know the future. In Revelation 19:10 it says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy gives those who believe it the faith and the strength to hold on and to withstand the devil's lies. Group 3, these are the ones who have a calling to be a witness during those last 3.5 years. In Daniel 11:32 and 33, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploit, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many. They will teach many people, and they will perform miracles. These, along with the two witnesses in Jerusalem, will expose what's going on in the world. Revelation 11:3-6, I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 3.5 years. They have power that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, power over the waters to turn into blood and to smite the earth with all plagues. These ones are not afraid to lose their life and give their all for Jesus. Many people will wonder what is going on. It says, yet they shall fall by the sword and by the flame and by captivity and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, and they shall be helped with a little help. That's in Daniel 11:33 and 34. The Lord will come through with his help and stand by those who give their lives, but many shall cleave to them by flatteries. Daniel 11:34. Buttering with devious flatteries. Oh, you are such a wonderful person. You could be such a help in the New World Order. We need people like you, movers and shakers that want to help the world move forward. Why die for a God that no one has seen when you can give your energy to improve life on earth here and now? It says, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them wise. Some will fall and be tested to see if they will stand by what they teach and so give their all. God is 100% in control. If God is still at all involved in the world today, then he will definitely want to be involved in these last 1260 days of civilization to make sure that nothing happens to any of his children which is not 100% within his will. It says in Luke 12:7, even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore. It will be a test for all mankind to see what each one is made of and if they have what it takes to become officers in this future kingdom. Will this test be seen as an honor, and will people give it their all and even their life in order to join heaven's special forces, or will we give up and flunk the test? It is booked in his diary. Daniel 11:35 says, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. The appointed time is the return of Jesus. In other words, it is a time appointed. It is a prearranged meeting, a date with God. It is a fixed appointment. It is booked in his diary, and God is not a man that he should not show up for his greatest, most important appointment of all time. Don't worry, as the whole universe ticks on a precision timetable, on a definite schedule, so Jesus will be there immediately after the tribulation. Matthew 24:29. After 3.5 years, after 42 months, after 1260 days, not earlier, not later, on time. Although some of the details might change, one thing is sure, that all living on this earth at that time will have to go through the tribulation. The Apostle Paul sums it up very clear. In Galatians 1 verses 9 and 10, says, though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached, let him be accursed. Do I seek to please man? If so, I should not be a servant of Christ. Chapter 5. The demons are coming down. If during the first 3.5 years of the peace agreement there is some spiritual peace, it is because Satan needs his demons to fight Michael. It says in Revelation 12:7-9, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and the great dragon was cast out. So, but when they are cast out into the earth, at the start of the tribulation, millions will become demon-possessed. That is when the insane asylum starts, as demon-possessed will hate the believers in Jesus. To encourage the believers, it says in Revelations 12:10 and 11, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they, the believers, that is, overcame him, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Heaven rejoices. Just think, one third of the angels were fallen angels and became demons, yet they somehow had access to heaven until Michael and his angels cast them all out. Now you picture this. You and your friend want to do something nice for your neighbor. However, there is a third party chewing off your ear with accusations against your neighbor. You might tell this party in no uncertain terms to get lost. Nonetheless, he will have affected your enthusiasm in the project. And so it is in heaven. The good side wants to help, but the other one-third fight against it and non-stop accuses the people that the good guys are trying to help. I'll tell you, he's got plenty of ammunition against me, and he probably has got a few against you too. That's why the devil is called the accuser of the saints, who accuses them before God day and night in Revelation 12:10. Finally, these incessant, venom-spouting talkers are thrown out of heaven. When that happens, the angels and the first-rate spirits can focus on the believers on earth without the distraction of these allegations. These people will be able to exploit, not because they have magical powers, but because all these super saints in heaven are raring to give them a helping hand. It says in Daniel 11:32, the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. The demons and pigs. However, the Antichrist will foul-mouth God with his so-called truths and will destroy the faith of many. Many of us will slurp up his foul hogwash against God like a bunch of hungry pigs, because who needs God anyway? Please be careful. In the story when Jesus encountered the demon-possessed person and the legion of demons came out of the man, they had to enter or attach themselves to something, as demons do. They knew that it was not yet their time to receive their judgments and to be tormented. Hence they said, "Have you come to torment us before the time?" So the devils besought him, "Suffer us to go away in the herd of swine." Seeing that it was not yet their time, Jesus granted them permission. He allowed them as an important warning to us. Matthew 8:32 says, "And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters." You can read the story in Matthew 8, verse 28 through 32. The pigs were about 2,000, it says in Mark 5:13. Now the time will come that Michael casts Satan and his demons out of heaven in Revelation 12:6. However, it will still not be their time to be tormented, and they will again receive permission to enter the pigs. This time, they will go for the humans, as possessing a human is a far greater achievement for a demon than possessing a pig. Those of us who consume the foul slop against God like hungry pigs will be easier targets for the demons than the people who don't believe and accept everything, but want to see whether what we are fed is either true or false. And the whole herd ran violently down a steep hill and perished in the waters, or in this case, the pool of blood at Armageddon. Therefore let us not sleep as others do, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:6, and we suffer the same fate as the pigs. While the demons will possess multitudes, Satan himself will possess the Antichrist full-time, and he goes bonkers against those who refuse to cooperate. However, no spirit is stronger than the Holy Spirit. Nobody can be touched unless the Lord allows it, seeing that he is 100% in control of these final days, as this is the climax of all history. Although it might at times look like he has forgotten his children, he will watch over each one of us like a hawk over a chicks. And the king, the Antichrist, shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself. It says in Daniel 11:36. He will tout his own horn. Don't you get nauseous when people tout their own horn, telling you how good they are? And he'll magnify himself above every god and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. The Antichrist will thrive till the indignation is finished. It says in Daniel 11:36, and he shall prosper till the indignation is accomplished, for that which is determined shall be done. Dictionary for indignation is righteous anger. Indignation refers to the wrath of God vials or the after effects of the nuclear war at the very end of his 7-year reign of terror. The Antichrist will prosper till the end of the wrath of God, which is determined. There is just no way around it. His prosperity will end as it is determined. And when God is determined, it will happen. No matter what you, or I, or Satan, or the Antichrist, or the Dajjal, or the false prophet, or any big-time preacher says. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. God keeps his word and his promises, and the Antichrist will come to his end at the end of his 7-year tenure, as Jesus will take care of him.
Chapter 6, the invasion of Israel and the atomic war.
Towards the end of his reign of terror, the king of the north, the Antichrist, invades the Middle East again. At the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, it says in Daniel 11:40. He will take over the countries of the Middle East, and he shall enter also into the glorious land. So he will invade Israel in order to subdue it and to enforce the peace agreement. All nations against Jerusalem. In Zechariah 14:2, it says, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. So you shall come from your place out of the north, a great army, a mighty army, and it shall be in the latter days, it says in Ezekiel 38:15-16. The Lord says, behold, I am against you, O Gog, which is the Antichrist, the chief prince of Meshech, which is Moscow, and Tubal, which is Tobolsk. These refer to Russia. I will put hooks in your jaws, and I will bring you forth. You will be compelled to come. Persia, which is Iran, Ethiopia and Libya, with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer, Germany, and all his bands, the European army, Togorma, Turkey, and all his bands, and many with you, Ezekiel 38:3-6. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom, and Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon, it says in Daniel 11:41. The country of Jordan, Edom and Moab, refers to the country of Jordan. The chief of the children of Ammon is the benevolent and wise king Abdullah II. He has been a sample to the world of leadership. Because he is concerned for the downtrodden, Jordan has been kind to the persecuted, first the Palestinians, then the war victims from Iraq, and now the Syrian refugees running from the horrors of war. The Lord will reward and preserve Jordan for helping the needy instead of closing their borders. Full-scale war is imminent. Israel's allies do not take kindly to the Antichrist occupying Israel, and they are preparing to attack. Daniel 11:44 says, tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Tidings out of the north are that Israel's allies are getting ready to attack. Tidings out of the east is that an army of 200 million is amassing. So he has two enemies coming against him at the same time, so he has to eliminate one. These next events happen in rapid succession. The Antichrist sets up headquarters in Jerusalem. Daniel 11:45 says, and he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. Between the seas are the Mediterranean and the Dead Sea. And the glorious holy mountain is the city of Jerusalem. This is it. Now he thinks that he's made it. And he will also sit in the temple, it says in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, he as God sits in the temple of God, claiming to be God. How much more pathetic can one get? The atomic war, Babylon. He shall go forth with great fury. He is not capable of facing these two enemy attacks at the same time. he completely goes bonkers and he will press the red button for an atomic first strike against Israel's allies and utterly make away many, it says in Daniel 11:44. Utterly destroying that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is your judgment come. Revelations 18:10. Babylon is destroyed in 1 hour. However, there is a short time span of about 20 minutes to retaliate before the missiles reach their targets. During this time, Babylon launches a retaliatory strike against the armies that are in Israel, and Magog, which is Russia, will also get nuked. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. It says in Zechariah 14:12. And Ezekiel 39:6 says, I will send fire on Magog, which is Russia, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles. UK, Australia, we'll have to see. Babylon destroyed. Thus Babylon is destroyed. The great whore that sits upon many waters. The waters are the nations. Revelations 17:1 and 15. The great whore symbolizes the capitalistic commercial system of selfishness, greed, power, and corruption. It says in Mark 13:20, except that the Lord hath shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. In a way, all nations partake of that system. But it seems that the USA has become the epitome of it, or the mother of harlots, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, says in Revelation 17:2. Clear words, as most countries are getting sucked into the corruption and the greed with little or no concern for the poor. We all used to admire the US for what she did in World War II, but the recent wars are fought for oil, greed, and power. Isaiah 1 verse 21 says, how the faithful city has become an harlot. When we think of the USA, automatically the Statue of Liberty comes to mind. What most of us don't know is that it symbolizes the Egyptian sun goddess Isis, who was reincarnated in Babylon as Ishtar during the Roman times as Libertas, and is presently adulated in the Statue of Liberty. It was constructed by Bartholdi, who wanted to promote this god or goddess. He was a Freemason like many of the US presidents. Clearly, the Statue of Liberty is not a symbol of democracy and freedom, as we are led to believe, but spiritually it symbolizes the Egyptian order of the Isis lineage, which engaged in temple harlotry and is associated with sex, desire, lust, transgender, fertility, war, and political power. Revelation 17:3 and 12 says, she sits upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but will receive power as kings in 1 hour with the beast. Having 7 heads, the 7 heads are the 7 empires that ruled the Middle East, which is 1, Egypt, 2, Assyria, 3, Babylon, 4, Medo-Persia, 5, Greece, 6, Rome, and 7, the coming New World Order. So the scarlet-colored beast is Satan. The 7 heads are part of Satan's body, and it shows that he has been the power behind these empires. The 10 horns, or kings, are the 10 regional groupings which will become reality in the globalization drive when the Antichrist rises to power. It says in Revelation 17:13, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. The 10 horns are the 10 UN-proposed political, economic, regional groupings into which the world will be divided. 1 is North America, 2 is Europe, 3 Japan, 4 South Africa, Australia, and New Zealand, 5 the Soviet Union, 6 Central and South America, 7 Middle East and North Africa, 8 Africa, 9 subcontinent and Southeast Asia, 10 China. So the harlot is drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, it says in Revelation 17:6. Those are all she killed in the tribulation. Therefore shall a plague come in one day, this death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. It says in Revelation 18:8. Revelation 18:6 says, double unto her, double according to her works. The last and the seventh trumpet. The atomic war is at the end of the 1260 days, the 3.5 years of the tribulation. And it says, in the world's darkest hour, the light of the world bursts forth as the seventh and last trumpet sound to announce the return of Jesus. And he shall send his angels with that great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds. Matthew 24:31. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, which is the seventh trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:52. And it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. The difference between trumpet and trump. Trumpet is salpize in the original Greek. Trump is salpigi, meaning war trumpet. The last trump is the war trumpet announcing that the battle of Armageddon is next. Nevertheless, those that have gone up with Jesus will first have the marriage supper of the Lamb. The seventh trumpet announces at the same time the seven vials of the wrath of God, or the nuclear aftermath. Daniel 12:11 says, there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even unto that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. The harvest is ripe. A time of trouble such as never was. When the nuclear bombs are flying and exploding, Jesus comes in the clouds to gather his children. After the tribulation shall the sun be darkened, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, which is the nuclear aftermath. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Matthew 24:29-31. In the world's darkest hour, the light of the world appears to bring home his children of light. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Joel 13:3 and Revelation 14:15. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about the Lord's return, they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They refused to accept the love that Jesus manifested in giving his life for our salvation, the innocent taking the place of the guilty. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Is this a strong delusion? People are going to believe that Jesus and his followers are aliens, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12. Very strong words, but it shows how vital our little and big decisions are of what we take pleasure in. The Antichrist kills the two witnesses. The two witnesses have been in Jerusalem for 1260 days, prophesying during the tribulation. It says in Revelation 11:3-7, my two witnesses shall prophesy 1260 days, and when they have finished their testimony, the beast shall kill them. So when the Lord returns, on that same day, the Antichrist kills them. Aliens among us. Jesus said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, in John 17:14-16. Can you see it unfold? Jesus picks up all these aliens who have died here before, and those who are still alive on the earth. The two worst aliens are the two witnesses in Jerusalem, and these are killed by the Antichrist, and everyone is happy that the aliens are finally gone and dead. Their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, where also our Lord was crucified, says in Revelation 11:8. Nobody dares to touch them, as they are portrayed as evil aliens that lived among us. It says in Revelations 11:9-10, Everyone shall see the dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not allow the dead bodies to be put in graves, and they that live on the earth shall rejoice, and they send gifts to each other. However, after 3.5 days, they stood upon their feet and ascended up to heaven, and great fear fell upon them which saw them, in Revelation 11:8-12. After 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, says in Revelation 11:11. Can you see how this makes the whole alien nonsense very credible to the world? The Lord's return will be broadcast as the aliens are gathering their troops and are getting ready to invade and take over the world. Satan knows that Jesus and his followers will return to take over the world. So what will be his next move? Chapter 7. In heaven, we have the marriage supper. At that time, your people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, it says in Daniel 12:1. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt, Daniel 12:2. Some will be ashamed. Will that be me? I accepted Jesus, but did they ever really do anything meaningful for him or anybody else? And they that are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever, it says in Daniel 12:3. Revelation 10:7 says, the mystery of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants the prophets. The believers are in heaven, and they are not caught in the nuclear aftermath. The marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. Revelation 19:7. His wife is ready. She has passed the test. She is and will always be his faithful, dedicated wife. Nothing could pry her away from the promises of her husband-to-be. 1 month of feasting. The prophet Daniel explains the 1 month, or the 30 days. It says in Daniel 12:11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate set up, there shall be 1290 days. This means that when the abomination is placed in the temple at the beginning of the tribulation, it will function 1290 days. Jesus returns for his children after 1260 days. At that time, he will collect his children, but not destroy the abomination or the image. So 1290 days minus 1260 is 30 days. So he does that 30 days later. These 30 days are for the marriage supper of the Lamb. 30 days of celebration. What a union. What a love feast. A honeymoon with the King of Love and his chosen princess. He raised her up from among the sinners of the earth, and she is now true royalty forever. Revelation 19:8 says, she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for her fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Their righteousness was that they knew they had no righteousness or goodness of their own. They relied solely on God's mercy, guidance, provision, and protection. Their complete trust in Jesus was the only righteousness they had. It was not the religious "I am better than you" self-righteousness. Rewards will be given. Revelation 19:9 said, he said unto me, write, blessed are they which shall be called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. These are the true sayings of God. There will be appetizing hidden manna, and they will be given a new name on white stones. Revelation 2:17. Write this, because this is not symbolically speaking. These words are true sayings of God. This is why people will hold on through thick and thin, so that they can be at the marriage feast, as it will be time to celebrate. Now, if Jesus made lots of wine on earth, then there will be lots of fun jubilations. It'll be a time of cleansing, making up, maybe some trauma counseling, recuperating, appreciating, loving, singing and dancing. A month to recover, to relax and to enjoy and to feast. The night before Jesus died, he said, I will drink no more wine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom, he said in Matthew 26:19. John 2:10 says, you have kept the good wine until now. Jesus will have the honor to make the first toast, a toast to my friends who were not ashamed of me, but stuck up for me no matter what, the true heroes of the universe. Matthew 10:32 says, Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. After this month of celebrating, everyone is refreshed and reinvigorated, ready for the next episode. Off to the stables to mount the white horses for world takeover. Revelation 19, verse 11, 14, and 16 say, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him is called the Word of God, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Chapter 8, on earth is the nuclear aftermath. While the believers are celebrating in heaven, the Bible gives many details about what simultaneously takes place on earth, so we can clearly understand what is to be and make an informed decision. The seven vials of the wrath of God. During the marriage supper, the earth suffered the nuclear after effects. However, it is not God who, as a sadistic monster, is eagerly waiting to pour out these vials. These vials are the after effects of the nuclear war. This is mighty, invincible us not wanting anything to do with God. We bring these plagues upon ourselves by our own stupidity and our idiotic stubbornness. We are so gullible and still believe that Satan wants to save the world with his atomic catastrophe. First vial, an excruciating, repulsive sore. There fell a repulsive and grievous sore upon the man which had the mark of the beast. Revelation 16:2. Radiation frees the harmful lithium in the battery of the RFID chip. Lithium is flammable, and it is potentially explosive when exposed to air and to water. The average adult human body is 50 to 65% water. Consequently, the lithium causes an extremely painful sore in the right hand or forehead. The second vial, all marine life annihilated. The second vial upon the sea, and it became as blood of a dead man, and every living soul in the sea died. Revelation 16:3. The radioactive fallout poisons the sea and destroys all marine life. This is environmental wipeout. Vial 3. Drinking waters are poisoned. The rivers and fountains of water became blood. They have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for they are worthy, it says in Revelation 16, verse 4 and 6. The drinking water sources are contaminated with radiation and fallout. The fourth vial, ozone layers are destroyed, and it is extreme heat. And power was given unto the sun to scorch man with fire. The protective ozone layers are destroyed, and the sun burns like fire. Man was scorched with great heat, and they repented not to give him glory, it says in Revelation 16, 8 and 9. Our cantankerous, stubborn pride has killed our desire to repent and leaves us with nothing but emptiness. The fifth vial, the nuclear night, the kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. Revelation 16, verses 10 and 11. Total darkness, sores, biting their tongue, cursing and blaspheming. Isn't there anyone left to call on the Lord for mercy? The sixth vial, 200 million across the Euphrates. It says in Revelation 16, 12, water of the great river Euphrates was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. The Islamic army of 200 million coming from the east for the final jihad under the leadership of the Mahdi will then have access to Israel and to Europe. They come to fight the Dajjal, the Antichrist, and his allies to enact the Sharia law worldwide. Sharia law. Europe and those that side with the Antichrist already have their armies in the Middle East to subdue Israel and to block the large army coming from the East. Can you see how both sides believe in the righteousness of this war? Europe will absolutely refuse Sharia law, while the final jihad is to implement the Sharia law worldwide. Both will fight to the death. The bloodbath has started. Preparing for Armageddon. Satan knows that when the Lord comes to gather together his children, that he will return after 30 days and will take over. So while the whole world is in absolute turmoil and suffering the aftermath of the nuclear war, the lying, unclean spirits of Satan, The Antichrist and the false prophets sway the kings of the earth by working miracles to come with their armies to Israel. It says in Revelation 16, 14 and 16, the three unclean spirits of Satan, the beast, and the false prophet go forth unto the kings of the whole world, working miracles to gather them together into a place called in the Hebrew Armageddon. They will assemble in Armageddon. The original Hebrew is Har Machedon, meaning Mount of Megiddo. Mount Megiddo overlooks the valley of Megiddo, and this is where the war of all wars will take place. The war of all wars to fight off the alien invasion, every chipped man is drafted. The Antichrist and the kings of the earth and their armies gather together to make war against him that sat on the horse, that's Jesus, and against his army, it says in Revelation 19, 19. The kings and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, against Jesus, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords, it says in Psalms 2, verses 2 and 3. Away with the restrictions of a so-called God. This military buildup happens during the 30 days of the marriage feast. But then Jesus and the armies from heaven shall return to the earth upon white horses for the final battle of good versus evil. Armageddon. Chapter 10. Heaven and Earth Collide. The seventh vial, Armageddon, will take over. It is done. So mighty an earthquake that every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and hailstones the weight of a talent. It says in Revelation 16, 17. A talent is 40 to 45 kilos. The mountains shall be thrown down, and every wall shall fall to the ground. It says in Ezekiel 38, 20. The cities of the nations fell. It says in Revelation 16, 19. Jesus on the Mount of Olives. It says in Amos 9, 8, Jerusalem shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And Revelation 1, 7 says, behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and also they which pierced him. And then it says in Zechariah 14, verses 3 and 4, and his feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, towards the east and towards the west, and there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall move to the north and half to the south. So in 1964 there was discovered a crack east to west in the Mount of Olives on the fault line. October 2014, the Jerusalem Post published an article warning of a very large upcoming earthquake. It says, it will happen for sure, it is only a question of when, says Shamuel M., professor of geophysics at Tel Aviv Uni. How will Armageddon be fought? Zechariah 14:3 says, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. 2 Chronicles 20:15 says, be not afraid, for the battle is not yours but God's. So first the abomination is destroyed. Next, the beast was taken and the false prophet, and both were cast alive into the lake of fire. It says in Revelation 19:20. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. The armies are now leaderless. There is an unbelievable earthquake, totally off the Richter scale, beyond anything that has ever been. The mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places, and every wall shall fall to the ground, it says in Ezekiel 38, verse 20. And then we have great hailstones, the size of a talent, will pelt down. A talent is 40 to 45 kilos. That's in Revelation 16:21. And in the panic, soldier kills soldier. It says in Ezekiel 38:21 and 22, every man's sword shall be against his brother, and I will rain great hailstone, fire, and brimstones. So soldiers turning against their fellow soldiers, an incredible, chaotic bloodbath. Blood unto the horse's bridle. It says in Ezekiel 38:21 and 22, I will rain upon them an overflowing rain. After 3.5 years of drought, Revelation 11:6, during the time of the two witnesses, we now have the cloudburst. They'll be slugging it out, first in puddles, then pools of blood. It is such a slaughter that blood comes unto the horse's bridle, it says in Revelation 14:20. That is 4 to 5 feet deep, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. 1 furlong is 185 meters. This is 296 kilometers. Most likely it is square kilometers. And the battle takes place in the valley of Megiddo, which is 380 square kilometers. So most of the whole valley will be filled with blood 4 to 5 feet deep. It says in Revelation 19:21, the remnant were slain with the word of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeds out of his mouth. Now the sword is the word of God, Ephesians 6:17. Jesus will speak to them, but they will not receive. The years of dark propaganda have blinded them to the light, and they would rather destroy themselves and each other than submit to the loving authority of Jesus. You shall not need to fight. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes. Everyone helped to destroy another. They looked into the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. In 2 Chronicles 20:17-24. You shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, you and all your bands, and I will give you to the ravenous bird. You shall fall upon the open field, says the Lord God, in Ezekiel 39:4-5. And I saw an angel saying to the fowls that fly, come, that you may eat the flesh of kings and captains and of mighty men and of all men. Revelation 19:17-18. Complete civil war. Back home, it is also to the death. It is neighbor against neighbor. People are going berserk with hate. Religious venom and killings, brutal gangs, break-ins, lootings, etc. In that day, a great tumult or panic from the Lord shall be among them. Everyone's hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor, it says in Zechariah 14:12-13. Everyone is demon-possessed, going crazy with vicious hate and killings. Then Satan is shut up. And I saw an angel with a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on Satan and bound him 1,000 years and shut him up. It says in Revelation 20:1-3. Good riddance of bad rubbish. Aren't you glad that he's finally shut up? No more foul mouthing out of him for a while. 45 days of civil war. Daniel 12:12. The prophet Daniel writes, blessed is he that waits and makes it to the 1,335 days. The battle of Armageddon started at 1,290 days. So this is an extra 45 days. So after 45 days of anarchy, the civil war comes to its end. The bullies, the arrogant, and them which destroyed the earth have now destroyed each other. Revelation 11:18. The people who hid in the jungles and the wilderness, away from this war insanity, are blessed and can come out now, because they waited till it was over. Chapter 10. The meek inherit the earth. The battle of Armageddon is settled. These words of Genesis will then ring true. Genesis 9:6 says, whoso sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. The meek come out of their hiding place, and they shall inherit the earth, as Jesus promised in Matthew 5:5. Israel, as gold is tried, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth from the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood from the midst of Jerusalem, by the spirit of judgment and burning, it says in Isaiah 4:4, in all the land 2 parts shall be cut off and die, and I will bring the 3rd part through the fire and refine them as silver is refined and as gold is tried. They shall call upon my name and I will hear them, it says in Zechariah 13:8-9. I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, Zechariah 12:10. The promises for Jerusalem. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen, and I will build it as in the days of old, it says in Amos 9:11. The law and the word of the Lord shall go forth from Jerusalem, it says in Isaiah 2:3. Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited, Zechariah 14:11. Jerusalem will no longer be the great city which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt in Revelation 11:8. But she shall be the camp of the saints and the beloved city in Revelation 20:9. Daniel 7:18 says, the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. And of his government and peace there shall be no end, it says in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the king, even upon them shall be no rain. Zechariah 14, 17. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. It says in Philippians 2, verse 10. Now Revelations 12, 11 and 20, verse 4 says, And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But first the cleanup. 7 months shall the people that remain in Israel be burying the dead. The stench of the bodies shall stop the noses of the passengers, and the weapons they shall burn for 7 years. There will be a cleanup crew, as people will be continually employed in cleansing the land. It says in Ezekiel 39, verse 9, 11, 12, and 14. Only a few males remain. Isaiah writes that after Armageddon and the Civil War, that hardly any males will be left. Almost all men are destroyed in the mayhem, the war, and the havoc. It says in Isaiah 13:12, I will make a man more precious than fine gold. So the remaining man will be more precious than fine gold. And in that day, 7 women shall take hold of one man, saying, We will eat our bread and wear our own apparel. We will do our own shopping, only let us be called by our name to take away our reproach, it says in Isaiah 4:1. War no more. No more war. The millennium of peace has arrived, where love and forgiveness will reign. Weapons shall be beaten into farming equipment, neither shall they learn war anymore, it says in Isaiah 2:4. So there is no more military recruitment and training. Peace will be enforced. As every knee shall bow, Isaiah 45:23. We have the advantage that the devil, who at present keeps deceiving the people, will be locked away, but we still have our own stubborn wills, so the rulers will in all probability be judging the cases like differences with neighbors, land disputes, education, or child neglect, etc. The Prince of Peace will reign. And he, Jesus, shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more, it says in Isaiah 2:4. Here we see that the big cases between the nations will be judged and settled by Jesus himself, so hopefully we don't have to worry about those. Thank God, war is no longer an option. God's kingdom has come. Isaiah 11:6-9 says that lions shall eat straw like the ox. The animals will no longer be carnivores, and humans will also become vegetarians. People might miss their steak, but then there might be a meat-replacing fruit that tastes 10 times better than any steak. We probably wonder how we could have ever killed and enjoyed eating the flesh of one of God's creatures. Violence shall be heard no more in your land. Isaiah 60, verse 18. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the seas. Isaiah 11, 9. And they shall plant vineyards and drink wine thereof, and they shall make gardens and eat the fruit of them. Amos 9, 14. In that day shall it be upon the bells of the horses, holiness unto the Lord. Zechariah 14, 20. Heavenly peace for 1,000 years, it says in Revelation 20, verse 4. The end of the millennium. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out again to deceive the nations. Revelation 20, verse 7. So after 1,000 years of peace and living in a world that we can only dream of now, Satan is released for a little while, and can you believe it? He deceives everyone again, just like he does today. Oh, we've had one party rule too long. I will be the opposition party. Let's get rid of these tyrants who are forcing us to behave. We want freedom. Let us break their yoke so we can do what we want. It will be again a time of sifting to see whether we will stand for love or prefer to be swept along with the lies. Revelation 20, verse 7 through 9, Satan shall go out and deceive the nations to gather them together to battle, and the number of whom is as the sand of the sea, and they went up on the breadth of the earth, and they compassed the camp of the saints. They will all come against Jerusalem, which is the camp of the saints, and fire came down from God and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse 10. So he is now with his cronies, the beast and the false prophet, and phew, are they hot under their collar. Payday. And I saw a great white throne, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works, it says in Revelation 20, verse 12. In Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14 said, For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So the sea gave up the dead, and hell delivered up the dead, and whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20, verse 13. Those of us who did not respect life and did not repent of our dark deeds or killings are not and cannot be written in the book of life, as we refuse to value life. And whatever we sow, that is what we reap, in Galatians 6, 7. Our files. Our memory faithfully records everything, what we do and say, our words, our motives, loving and unloving deeds. And although we sometimes try to erase these memories, or would like to forget certain things, they are there documented forever. Now Judgment Day is here, and we are all standing before the whole world, before all the people that admired or hated us, and God hits the playback button for our memory, for all to see on the big screen. You can't argue with the evidence. You can't say that you didn't do it. You can't say I didn't mean it like that, because you are presenting your own evidence. You are standing there simply naked as a human being. There are no cover-ups of religion, no cover-ups of power, nothing to get you off the hook. No lawyer to twist the truth that is presented by you, no judge to bribe, just you, and you cannot crawl under the table. Ezekiel 33:11 says, As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his wicked ways and live. Please do yourself and your loved ones, and everyone, including God, who values you even more than his own son, a favor, and save yourself this incredible, shameful, humiliating experience. God doesn't want the judgment day to happen. He doesn't want to humiliate you. He wants to forgive you and not hold your sins against you. That is why he sent his own son, only son, to take the punishment for us. So you and I don't have to stand trial. If you have a son, then you know what kind of sacrifice that took. So Jesus is eager to erase our memory file, so it can no longer be used against us. Phew, what a relief. However, this is something that only he can do. Hence, we have to accept him and ask him, because we all have sinned and fall short, it says in Romans 3:23. We all failed in keeping his commandment, which says, A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, in John 13, verse 34. We all failed in loving others, and that puts us all on equal footing, all sinners. And the payment for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus, Romans 6, 23. Thank him that he gave his life for your sins of selfishness. Ask him to hit the delete button, which he will. And you will no longer have to testify in the witness stand on payday against yourself. Unbelievable. What an offer. Two kinds of people. There will be two kinds of people on that day. Those that say, I'm so sorry. Would you allow me to apologize to those that I've hurt? Could I ask you to please forgive me? You gave me a free will, but I really muffed it, and I am just so sorry. And then there are those that say, I had a horrible life, God, I did my best, don't blame it on me. It was you who allowed this mess. I didn't choose to create myself. Sorry, friend, we are all creating and recreating ourselves by the decisions we make. What will you do? Will you blame others and God? Or will you say, yes, Lord, I'm the one who made those decisions. You tested me and I failed. Please be merciful because I'm a sinner. The ones that are truly sorry, repent and apologize to the ones that they've hurt and who want to come clean will be allowed to live on the new earth. Revelation 21, New Jerusalem. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. These words are true. Again, this is no figure of speech, for these words will happen. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him that thirsts. And he that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Yay! The overcomers are rich. The gold, the diamonds, and the pearls, it's all theirs. But it is worthless compared to the love that was received in the sacrifice of his son. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell in them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. A tabernacle is a tent, or the shape of a pyramid. If it is pyramid shaped, then it looks like someone who has zero originality is copying the symbol again. You see the dollar bill. The city lies four square, and the length is as large as the breadth, 12,000 furlongs, and the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal, and it had 12 gates. Now let's do a little math. New Jerusalem is 12,000 furlongs. One furlong is approximately 185 meters, or 12,000 times 185 meters is a little over 2,200 kilometers in length, as well as the width. So the surface is length times width is 4,840,000 square kilometers. The United Kingdom, with England, Wales, and Scotland, and Northern Ireland, is 242,900 square kilometers of land area. So the base of New Jerusalem is roughly 20 times the surface of the complete UK land area. India is the seventh largest country in the world, with an area of 3,166,414 square kilometers. So it is 1.5 times the size of India. Now that is a reasonable piece of real estate. It is, however, also 2,200 kilometers high. An airplane flies with the altitude of 10 kilometers. The city is most likely divided into floors. Let's make a generous guess and say that each floor is 10 kilometers high, and then we end up with well over 200 floors. This city will not be overpopulated. There will be plenty of space for all the believers of all ages. No monthly rent, no water, gas, and electricity bills, no council tax, no state tax, no income tax, no wealth and property tax. Chapter 10, Royalty. In God's eyes, people who love and respect him are his royals. As it reads in 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Revelation 5:10 says, you made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Daniel 7:18 says, the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess it forever, even forever and ever. Whipping boy. In times past, royal princes had a whipping boy. The whipping boy was the child brought up with the prince or a young king and punished on his behalf when the prince or the king was naughty. Crucially, the royal and his proxy were friends, so any pain was vicariously felt. Whipping boy is a person who is blamed or punished for the faults or the incompetence of others, it says in the dictionary. To truly show our imperial importance and royalty, Jesus moves from his heavenly dimension into our former dimensional realm to present himself as our whipping boy, because he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, says in Isaiah 53, verse 5 and 8. Jesus became our whipping boy in the hope that we would behave as royals, his future kings and queens, so we would learn what it means to serve, to teach, to love, to forgive, to wash each other's feet, to give guidance in wisdom, honesty, and humility. Thus, learning to fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, it says in James 2:8. So what are you worth? When we go to the market to buy something, then we make sure that what we purchase has more value to us than the price that we pay for it. Otherwise, we got ourselves a bad deal. Some of the smartest businessmen are from the Jewish community, and they would definitely not pay more than what it is worth. Now, Jesus was Jewish. He was the oldest child in a family of at least 7 children. He had 4 brothers, James, Joseph, Judah, and Simon, and his sisters. Sisters is at least 2. It says in Mark 6:3. He was a carpenter, helping his old man, Joseph, to make ends meet. So he definitely knew the value of things. Yet he, being Jewish, bought us with his life and blood, which shows that in God's eyes, we have a greater value than the value he put in himself. That is how important we are to him. May we never ever boo-hoo the importance of our life here on earth. The violent take it by force. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. It says in Matthew 11:12. So grab a hold of the kingdom in your heart by faith and fight for it against fear. The man said, let me go. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. It says in Genesis 32:26. Hold on and don't let go of your birthright, the birthright of being a son and daughter of God. People die daily for the 4 horsemen. We give our lives in demonstrations and prisons for the first horsemen of political and religious causes. Or we die as collateral damage in the hell of war for the second horseman of the military machine. And we sell our souls to the third horseman with crooked business deals, withholding payments and exploiting the poor. If we surrender to the fourth horseman by ending our lives with suicide, euthanasia, shootouts, religious killing, massacres, ethnic cleanses, genocides, etc. So why not give our life back to God, who gave it to us in the first place, and we live forever. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep our heart and mind through Jesus. It says in Philippians 4:7. All it takes is a decision and say, dear Jesus, I give my life back to you. Do with it what you think is best. So it will determine our future when we cross over from here into forever land. End of part 2.
This audiobook was a free download at the website of johanpeters.in.